Well, come on, somebody. Somebody give the Lord praise this morning. Isn't God good to us? Hallelujah. Come on, let's worship him. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. God is so good. Happy Father's Day to all you dads out there this morning. And we are honored and thrilled to be here. We've been looking forward to this day for a long time. I just wanted to give God all the glory, all the praise. And you guys look great. You look great. Look at your neighbor and say, man, you look good today. I'm glad you're here. So you're not looking as good as me, but you're doing all right. We are honored and thrilled and very honored that you for your confidence and your trust in us as your pastors. And we have been looking forward to this day, our first Sunday, for a long time. And thank you for your prayers moving forward and for what God wants to do. How many believe that God wants to continue what he's doing already in this ministry? And he's going to help us to reach the harvest. There's lots of people to reach in this area, and we want to reach them for Jesus. Amen. Amen. We are so honored that we have so many of you here today that let us know that you're going to be here. We've got some friends from Somerville. We've got some friends from Myrtle Beach. And it's just so good to see all of you here. Honored that Brother Ed Nelson would be here with us as well to help us with our consecration time. I'm honored for Pastor Bernie filling up to par to be here today, and Susan, and just so thankful. So honored to have our son and our future daughter-in-law coming up real soon in November. Logan and Julie, if you guys are just stand, since I'm talking about you, would you stand just for a moment? You guys had met them already. And I'm so glad they could be with us today. They're going to be married in November, and we're very thankful for that. Our daughter Megan and Mike, our son-in-law, and their son Finley, she wasn't able to be here, and she wanted to be here today as well. You haven't met her yet, but I wanted you to meet Finley. And we got a picture of him if you just want to put it up there. It's our grandson, and we love this kid. We are smitten with this grandson, the one with the ice cream. Did you have that one? There you go. That's the one. That's the one. Because that's going to want everybody to have ice cream after. You want to have ice cream after service today. But we love that kid, and they wanted to be here. Megan hadn't felt well this week, and so we've been helping with him. But they're going to be here real soon. And Madison is there helping as well, so she wasn't able to be here today. But we are honored and thrilled to be here, and I just wanted to say thank you for your confidence in us, and let Mary Alice give a greeting as well this morning.
We are so happy to be here today. We've been looking forward to this moment for quite some time, and we just want to thank you for your kindness to us and the way that you helped us through this process, and the kindness of Sean and Jason. If I start mentioning names, I'll probably leave someone out, but and Marion, you've just gone overboard with making things so nice for us at the parsonage. He even showed up last night, I think it was about 8 or 8:30, and just to make sure that things were right at the parsonage for us. So we thank you, Marion, for all that you've done to make us feel at home, and we just look forward to serving beside you as your pastors and serving the community of Rock Hill. And I know God's going to do great things through all of us. Thank you, honey.
Appreciate that. Since you're up here, can you guys just pray for us? And we pray for you guys as a congregation. We'll start out that way with prayer, and we'll ask God's blessings upon this day, upon this hour, upon this moment, and for what he has for this church moving forward. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you, Lord, in advance. Lord, the kingdom of God is so vast and so wonderful and so beautiful, Lord, and we are honored, Lord, to be a part of your plan. And God, this morning, for this season, for this hour, Lord, for a young man who was saved in this church and was raised in this neighborhood, Lord, it's very surreal today to be the pastor of this church. And I'm overwhelmed, and I'm grateful, Lord, and I'm honored. But, Lord, it's a great responsibility. And I pray that we would be led by the precious Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit of God, you are welcome in this place. You're welcome in this atmosphere, in this environment, Lord God. We know that you want to pour out a blessing upon this church and continue to do so. Lord, we know that you want us to reach many people that need to know you, Lord. And I pray that you would do that. Lord, use us, Lord, we pray. as we set this, from this moment forward, God, we set it in your hands, and we ask your blessings, God, on our efforts, Lord, and our praise and our worship and our prayer and our work, Lord Jesus. We're co-laborers with you, Lord, but we know, God, it's got to be led by the Holy Spirit. And I thank you for this congregation, Lord, for these friends and family here today. We love you in Jesus' precious name. And all God's people said amen and amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning. If you've got your Bibles this morning, I want you to turn to Psalm 23. It's a very familiar psalm that many of you know by heart. And I wanted to, if you would just stand for the reading of the word of the Lord this morning. If you're there, say, praise the Lord. I love this psalm. And when we read the psalms, we think of them as words, but really they're songs. That's what they are, and that's what the psalms mean. So when we read this, we see that it's a song that David sang. And I wanted to read together through that, if we would, this morning. The Lord is my shepherd, and I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, and your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and you anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will, everybody say, I will, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You can be seated if you like. Give somebody a big high five or a bear hug. Now, I'm gonna do a little litmus test today to see if you guys are Pentecostal. So anytime you get a chance to say amen, praise the Lord, I'm looking forward to you doing that this morning. Are we not Pentecostal or what? We're a Pentecostal church, right? Yes. God is so good to us. So when you see this psalm, I'm amazed at David's tenacity and his perseverance. And he brings the psalm to a crescendo, if you will, right at the end. He said, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And he says, I will. Everybody say, I will. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He's making a declaration for his family and for his life. He's making a declaration. He said, I'm deciding right now that I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He had a tremendous trust in the Lord, a tremendous trust in God. And that's what I want to talk to you today about. It's Father's Day, but I want to talk to you guys, and I want to talk to you women, everybody in this room, young people. And I know we have some kids in here this morning as well. I'm glad you guys are in here. We also have people watching online. I'm so glad you guys are tuning in and watching. And I know our kids are watching back home. It's good to see you guys too. And so glad that you're with us online and also in the service. But I want to remind you this morning that David was a man after God's own heart. That's what the Bible describes him as. And we're going to get a little bit of backdrop on that. But David had a tremendous trust on God. Now, there was another picture of Finley I wanted to show you. We're fishing, and he caught him a fish. We had a little retention pond in our backyard, and I could not believe we actually caught a fish out of this pond. It's only been there a couple years. And so he's got this little Zebco combo rod and reel. You guys know what I'm talking about? A little short one, a little kid's one. And so we're out there, and he's only 2 years old. Now, think about this for a minute. I mean, he's getting this down pat already. He's pushing the button, and he's throwing it out. He's trying to get the timing right. You know, sometimes the bait's up on the bank, and that's all right. Then he's got to come through the grass, and then he throws it out. But he's got it now. He slings it out, doesn't he, Logan? He gets in the water, and he reels it back in. And so it's a close face rod and reel, right? It's on top, and you wind it with your right hand. And I've got an open face reel, which is underneath, and you wind it with your left hand. Or you can switch it out, but mine's on the left. And it's really interesting, even though I was showing him, I said, okay, Finley, then when you throw it, push the button, don't let go till you get out that way, and then let go when you throw it. And so he started working that. But as we were fishing, because he said, "Pat Paul, you get your rod and reel too. I want you to fish too." So I took mine open face, and mine's on the bottom, and I'm reeling with my left hand. And so as we're working through this and we're fishing together, he starts doing what Pat Paul's doing. He's watching me more than I realized he was watching me. Even though I was showing him and telling him how to do it, he turned his rod and reel upside down like mine was. And he started using his left hand. Well, actually, he was doing his right hand, doing like this on the left side. And he was getting all tangled up. String was getting wrapped around his legs and around, you know, and he was having a time. But he was watching to see how Papaw was doing it. Because if Papaw's doing it that way, then that must be the way I should do it. Right? Because he trusts Papaw. Matter of fact, he loves Papaw more than he does Nina. I think he really does. I think he really does. Now, the test on that one is when he comes in the door. He'll pass me or make a beeline to Mary Alice every time. He loves Nina. She was Nana, now she's Nina. So he trusts Papaw enough. He says, "Papaw, if that's the way you're going to do it, then I'm going to do it that way." He's making it harder for himself, but he trusts me that much. And I had a moment right there. You know, our kids teach us a lot about our lives, don't they? Our grandkids teach us a lot about our lives. We're learning that too. Teach us a lot about God and the relationship with our Heavenly Father. And I thought, Lord, that's a great lesson for us today in how our relationship is with our Heavenly Father, that I trust you enough. And Lord, if you say that's the way that I should do it, then I'm going to do it like you, Lord. I'm going to follow you, Lord. I'm going to look to you, God, for the answer in this. I'm going to look to you, Lord, for the way to do this, because I trust you and love you enough to do it your way, Lord. When I look at the life of David, and that's why I pulled him out of the narrative today, because of Father's Day, I thought he was a man after God's own heart. You know, the backdrop on that, he was anointed king of Israel, the next king. Saul had disobeyed God. You read this in 1 Samuel. It said Saul had disobeyed God, and he had taken matters in his own hand, offered a sacrifice, and God was displeased with Saul. And Saul said that no longer will you be king. You've lost my heart for what you're doing as a leader for Israel. I'm gonna find a man. And it says that God sought a man after his own heart. And what it's saying there is that, yes, David had a heart for God, but God saw David's life, and he said he sought him as a man after his own heart, a man of his own choosing, if you will. That's what that means. A man after God's own heart was a man of God's choosing. And I thought, how would God, or what does it take for a man to get God's attention that way, to say, I choose him to be the next king? You know the story there, Samuel, he comes and he meets the father, Jesse. And he says, "Jesse, show me your sons." And God sent him to Jesse, and Jesse brings out all of his sons, and except for David. He leaves David out in the shepherds in the sheep field with the sheep. He's a shepherd boy, and he brings all his sons before Samuel, and Samuel knows the Lord's Spirit said, "No, this is not the one, this is not the one, this is not the one." And he asks him, "Is there another son?" He said, "Yes, he's David." And he goes out in the field and gets David, brings him in. That's the one. And Samuel takes the horn of oil and pours it over his head, anoints him with the oil, and he says, "You're going to be the king over Israel." And he was anointed king. What does it take for a man to be called a man after God's own heart? Man, I don't know about you, but that would be a high honor to know that God looks at me as a man after God's own heart. You know what? God has chosen every one of you in this room to be a man after God's own heart. He's chosen you, fathers. He's chosen you, dads. He's chosen you, single parents, to be a man after God's own heart. Surely, goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. See, that was David's crescendo. He says, the end of his song, he's saying, "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." A man after God's own heart, his own choosing. In devotion one morning recently, I was reading through Kings in 1 Kings 15, and I was amazed at how many times it speaks of David being a man after God's own heart. It speaks of King Abijam, and it says that he walked in the sins of his father Jeroboam. And in verse 3 of 1 Kings 15, his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God as the heart of David his father. Nevertheless, for David's sake, the Lord his God gave him a lamp in Jerusalem to set up his son after him. In verse 5, it says, Because of David, that which was right in the eyes of the Lord and turned aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his to save, except the matter of Uriah the Hittite. In other words, we know, I'm reminded once again when I read through this, that David messed up. Everybody say, David messed up. David messed up. He failed miserably. At the same time, David, being the man that he was, he caught a devotion and a discipline to know God, his father, through his father, Jesse. You see, really, one of the main characters in this narrative is not necessarily David, but it's the father, Jesse. Come on, somebody. That's a good place to say amen right there. I'm going to give the ladies a lot of opportunities and open doors to say amen about your man today and about your husbands. And if you don't, then guys, that's on you. I don't know if they don't say amen enough and encourage you this morning. I'm giving you some opportunities. But a man after God's own heart. A man after God's own heart. You see, Jesse takes the stage with his eight sons, and he presents them to Samuel, and we see that unfolding. And the true character here in this narrative is not necessarily David, but it's Jesse. David is a man after God's own heart because Jesse was a man after God's own heart. You see, Jesus has the lineage of Jesse's root. And we see this in the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 11. 1 says, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. So it's very important, dads, that we get this morning, that we catch this, that we understand the nature of this. I would like to remind us, sir, I would like to remind you this morning, ma'am, I'd like to remind us this morning of the importance of our godly influence over our kids. Hello? Our godly influence over our kids, just to live it out before them. Not necessarily what we sometimes I'll say to my kids, I'll say, do as I do, not as I say. or do it as I say, not as I do. That's the other way around, because I don't always get it right, right? And I'm like, do as I say, not as I do. But I want them to catch what I do and live the way that I want them to emulate, the way that I want them to reflect. And I don't always get it right. And we see that David failed miserably, but there's some observations in the life of David that I wanted to remind us of this morning that I believe will help us understand what it takes to be a man after God's own heart, a man of God's own choosing. First of all, I love that David learned to trust God completely, just like I talked about how Finley would watch me with that rod and reel and how he would do it the way Papa was doing it, because he trusts me. Everybody say trust. He trusts God completely. He trusts God completely. You remember back in when he was a shepherd boy, and the lion and the bear came and they attacked the sheep, David realized that the strength that he had was not in his own strength, but the strength that God gave him, the strength that was from above. He said, Lord, I trust you to help me conquer this lion, this bear. And I trust you, Lord, to help me fight this. And David realized it was the strength of God that helped him kill the lion and the bear. Some of you men in here today, you realize that it's the strength of God is the only reason why you're still on this earth right now. It's the strength of the Holy Spirit. It's the strength of his healing virtue. He is Jehovah Rapha. He is our healer God. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is the Lord who sees and provides. He is the Lord Jehovah Roi. He is my shepherd God. And the only reason I know I'm standing here today is because of strength that I have from the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. It must be that I trust him with all of my heart. I trust him completely. Guys, I know as well as you do that that's not always an easy thing to do, is to trust somebody else. Especially when you're driving behind that vehicle, behind that wheel, to trust somebody else. I have to always be driving. My wife, on a long trip, she'll say, hey, you want me to drive? I'm like, no, I got it. I can't rest when I'm not driving. You know? We're like that with a lot of things. We want to fix things. We want to do it ourselves. We want to do it our way. But you realize here this morning, men, that it's not, if it wasn't for God, you wouldn't be sitting here today. So we learn to trust God completely. Lord, you know what's best. You know how we're going to make it through this. I don't know how we're going to do it, Lord, but you do. I trust you. And David learned to trust God completely. As he got older, well, we know with the story when he faced the Philistine. Some of you kids in here, you know when he faced the giant, what did he have in his hand? What did David have in his hand when he faced the giant? He had a slingshot and what else? He had some smooth stones, didn't he? And he had a little pouch. But you know what? David practiced that slingshot all the time. He was a pro at it, man. He knew what to do. He'd wind that thing up. You remember what he said when he came before the giant? What did he say? He said, you come to me with a sword? Yeah, a big spear, matter of fact. And he was a big man. He was a big giant. And David looks at him, and little young David looks at him and says, "But I come to you in the name of the Lord, the God of Israel." And that's the strength that he leaned on. That's the strength that he trusted in. He said, "I trust God completely, even against this giant in my life." He learned as he wound that slingshot up and that rock hit the giant between the eyes, and he slain the giant, cut off his head, and brought him before. He realized that he had won the battle because of the strength of the Lord. David learned to trust in the name of the Lord. Now 20 years had gone by since he was anointed king. Think about this. He was anointed king in that moment with Samuel. 20 years went by before he actually became king and Saul was no longer king. 20 years of patience and waiting. 20 years where he was running from his life from Saul. Remember that? He went to the caves and he was hiding out and he was running for his life. And there was a moment where he could have taken Saul's life and he could have become king just like that. But he says, "I'm not going to touch God's anointed. I trust God more than my own efforts. I trust God more than what other people are telling me. I trust God because he is my God. I trust him completely." And he waited for 20 years before he became king. He trusted God completely. Everybody say trust. Trust him completely. Another thing I observe about David is that he worshiped God exclusively. He worshiped God exclusively. Don't y'all love worship? I love that y'all love praise and worship here. And you got a wonderful worship team here and people that love to worship. And Jason said something to me yesterday. We went out by the house and they were out there painting. They had a paint party and I didn't get any paint on me because I didn't do any paint rolling yesterday, but they were painting. And he said, "You know, we love worship." And I'm like, "God, that's where we're at. We love worship too." But we learned that David he learned to worship God exclusively. Psalm 23:6, he said, "I will," everybody say, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, he had made that declaration because he had learned the secret place. He had learned Psalm 91, that he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my fortress and my shield. He is the God in whom I can trust. When I dwell under his presence, I'm dwelling under that shelter of the Most High. One of my prayers every morning is, "Lord, I ask that you would command your angels concerning," and I'll name my kids, I'll name my wife, and I'll name our family, to guard them in all their ways. You see, I want to be under his umbrella every second of my life. I want to worship him exclusively. I want to know him intimately, and so I worship him. You know, I want to make that declaration. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Jacob made that declaration. He says, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Everybody say, "I will." We will serve the Lord. First Assembly of God, I know you've been serving God already, but we will serve the Lord our God. We will know the Lord. We will serve him. We will do what he wants us to do. We'll say, we'll be, we'll worship him exclusively. Sir, you and I must decide and make the declaration over our homes, over our families, over our kids. Listen, this is who we are. This is what we're going to do. We will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. Now, when I think about serving the Lord, I think about the areas of my life that I'm going to serve the Lord in, and I think there's three things that we all share in common. Three things. We all have time. Everybody say time. We all got 365, 24/7. We got all those days are the same. We got the same amount of time, and we've got treasure. Everybody say treasure, and we've got talent. Everybody say talent. There's three things that we share in common. We all have the same amount of time. And how we spend that time is really how we reflect who God is in our lives. It's really what's important to us. If I could just follow you and just kind of hang out and be with you for a little, I could tell what things are really important in your life, what things matter in your life. If you worship God exclusively, then your time will be God's time. We have a professor at Southeastern, Brother Hackett. He says, "No Bible, no breakfast." And ever since I heard that, I can't eat anything until I read my Bible. I feel guilty the rest of the day. No Bible, no breakfast. You got to put God first. Your time, guys and ladies, your time. Where is it you fit God in your schedule? Where is it that you make time? Where is it that you put God in your schedule and make time for God? Do you make an appointment with God? Do you do the things that nurture a relationship with God? you do those things. John Wesley would say, "I've got so much to do today in my evangelism and in my going out and sharing the gospel that I must get up 3 hours earlier just so I can pray and make sure I'm prepared for the day." Do you make time for God? Do you have a place in your heart? Do you not forsake the assemblies of yourself? Also, talent. Everybody say talent. Talent. What is your talent? Mary Alice, she taught school in music for 20 years at Faith Christian School, and she had a poster in her room that I loved. Every time I went in there, I would see that, and I'd read it many times. And it said this to the kids and the students. It would say, "Your gift, your talent is God's gift to you. What you do with that gift is your gift to God. What you do with that talent is your gift to God." So your talents, guys, what are you good at? What are you good with your hands with? What are you good with crafting and trade? What do you do? What is it that you can give back to God? Ladies, what do you do that's a talent that you give back to God? And you say, "Lord, I want to honor you with these talents." How do you use the giftings and abilities that God has placed within you? That's your talents. Another thing that we all have in common when we talk about worshiping God exclusively is that we all have treasure. Everybody say treasure. Treasure. How are you stewarding that which God has entrusted you with? How are you stewarding your family? How are you stewarding your resources, your finances? Do you honor God in all your ways? You know, usually when I hit a stump or a trip up on something, I do a little check for myself, and it's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding, but in all," everybody say all, "in all your ways acknowledge him, and then he will make your path straight." And so I ask, Lord, am I acknowledging you in all of my ways? Am I acknowledging you with my time? Am I acknowledging you with my talent? Am I acknowledging you with my treasure? And I believe, folks, if I get that right, if I get that closer to his will, then he says he's going to direct my steps. Amen? Come on, somebody. Amen? He's going to direct my steps. So David learned to trust God completely, and he worshiped God exclusively. Another observation I learned about David as I read and I see in his life is that not only did he trust God and worship God exclusively, but he pursued him relentlessly. He pursued God relentlessly. He didn't give up on God. I've known too many people in church that start out the gate, they're excited about God, they're zealous about God, and they want to be a part of the church and what God's doing, and something happens, it trips them up, they get disillusioned, they hear something, they get disappointed on man, they get their eyes on man, they get hurt, they stop church, they stop God, they stop all of that because they don't feel like God was fair to them. How many in the room today know somebody like that? Every one of us. And we see in these last days that there's going to be the Bible says, Jesus, there's a scripture that brings to mind here that narrow is the way that leads to every eternal life, but broad is the way that leads to destruction. Hello? I believe 1 Thessalonians says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ shall arise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord." Aren't you thankful we had that to look forward to? And that's our hope. That's our blessed hope. That's the eschatological hope that we have, that there is going to be a last days event. Some people lose sight of what the real goal is, the goal of loving Jesus, of knowing who he is, and knowing that there's an end journey that we're going to be on together, and they lose sight because of the temporary, because of the challenge, the moment that we're going through in this life, and they get disillusioned or hurt, and they let go of God. They don't learn to pursue God relentlessly. And when I read Psalm 23:6, I see that David does this. He says, "I will." Everybody say, "I will." "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." I've already made my mind up. Some of you guys are real stubborn, and wives, you can say amen right here because they get their minds made up and you can't change it, right? Some of you ladies are that way too. Man, you can say amen too. You get stubborn and you can't change your minds. You've got to get in your heart, you know her in your heart, that I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, and no man can take that away from me. No event in my life will destroy me. No, nothing in my life will conquer over my love for God. I'm going to pursue Him relentlessly. I am not going to give up. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I will. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord, no matter how hard it gets. I will not forsake the assemblies of myself. I love church because God is in the building. God is in my life, and God wants to reach lost humanity through this church. I'm going to pursue Him relentlessly. Now, you got to keep in mind, these are observations about David. He pursued God relentlessly, but you've got to realize, and here's the elephant in the room, is that David failed miserably. Hello? What about, I'm asking these questions when I'm reading through this and studying 1 Kings and how over and over again it says he was a man after God's own heart, and the only thing he did wrong was Uriah the Hittite, and I'm thinking they didn't even mention Bathsheba, but maybe that's all part of that one event, and it's capitalized all of that, because David failed miserably. And I realize if there's hope for David to still be called a man after God's own heart, then there's hope for you and me. Because I know that I am not perfect. I know that I have failed miserably. I know that I have fallen very short of God's plan for me. And I'm thankful that Romans 3:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. It says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. In 6:23 it says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. In Romans, it tells us in 10:9-10 that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, that we shall be saved. Romans 3:20 says, I stand at the door of your heart and I knock, and if any man hear my voice and opens that door, lets me come in, I will have fellowship with him, get to know him, and he will get to know me. We'll be together. We'll get to know one another. And when you learn that relationship to relentlessly pursue the Lord, to know him, to not give up. Lord, I know that I'm not perfect. You say, how many times can you say, Lord, forgive me? I can't count how many times. But all I know is if you stacked up all those times that I've said, Lord, forgive me, in a piece of paper, and I don't know how high your stack would be. Mine would go through the roof. All I know is it takes one drop of His precious blood to wipe that out and annihilate that. Relentlessly pursue the Lord. I'm far from perfect. God knows this. My wife knows this. However, I'm a man who has relentlessly pursued God and His will for my life ever since the day I came to these altars at the age of 14 and gave my heart to Jesus right here. I've not always gotten it right. I have messed up royally. But I have continued to relentlessly pursue Him, to know Him. And thank God, through all of that, we've been in ministry for over 30 years. We've got 3 kids who love Jesus. We've got a beautiful daughter-in-law, soon to be daughter. I'm going to call you daughter. Is that all right? That loves Jesus. She's an answer to prayer. We've got a grandson who's singing songs about Jesus. Listen, if you're relentless about it and pursue Him with all that you have, there's going to be a place in your life where you see God in every area. And the blessings of God are going to flow out of that river of life, if you will. Relentlessly pursue Him. Don't give up on pursuing Him. Lord, I know I messed up. I know I didn't get it right. But listen, in my estimation, and according to God's word, the love of Jesus and what He did for me on the cross, all that makes me a man after God's own heart. Come on, somebody. That makes you a man after God's own heart. His chasing after you, His calling. Did you know that you're chosen by God? You're chosen by Him. He has, if you say, Lord, I want to pursue you relentlessly. You know what? God's pursuing you relentlessly as well. He's extending. I love what my wife says, that God has a long arm of grace. And He continues to extend that over and over and over and over again. He's saying, I want you to know me and I want to know you. He's extending that love. You see, when I think about David being that man after God's own heart, I think, what does it take that God would choose him to be that? And I see that he trusts God completely. He trusts God completely. Lord, if you say that's the way I do it, then I do it that way. If I turn my combo upside down, I'm going to do it like Papaw did it, because I'm going to do it the way you said to do it, Lord. Trust you completely. And David also worshiped God exclusively. He this place of worship in his life. And he's singing these psalms he wrote and singing to the Lord. And he had this gift, an anointing upon his life to worship the Lord in an intimate place. And he says in Psalm 23:6, I will bless the Lord. He said, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And also he learned to pursue God relentlessly. He never gave up. And he says at that crescendo, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen? I've asked my wife to come up and minister to us in song. Then we're going to have a prayer right after that. And I want you to think about what we've talked about today for a little bit. And those of you watching online as well, this is an opportunity for you just to contemplate these words today, the life of David and how he became this man after God's own heart. Because the same could be true for you and I today. Nobody's perfect in the room. Amen? And wives, that was a good place to say amen. He is not perfect. But you realize no one's perfect in this room. But we are people after the heart of God because he has a heart for us.